The king waited impatiently astride his horse. For a brief moment the dazzling array of stars above captured his restless gaze, but he soon turned away. Staring at the night sky yielded no return. It wasn't worth his attention. A torch bobbed toward him out of the darkness, the outline of an anxious servant gradually appearing beside it. The man bowed low at his feet.
"He has arrived, Your Majesty."
"Send him to me at once," growled the king.
The servant bowed again before scurrying away. Before long a stallion pranced into view, bearing a tall nobleman dressed in black. The new arrival dipped his head as he drew closer.
"The men are assembled, Your Majesty. I await only your command."
The sovereign scowled at the tall commander.
"Remind me again," he demanded, "how does this plan benefit you?"
The rider barely hesitated.
"I need no reward beyond destroying our enemies and enlarging your kingdom at their expense."
The king's eyes narrowed. The nobleman seized every opportunity to expand his own influence. This mission would be no exception. The commander had also sidestepped the question of plunder. The evasiveness did not trouble the king. He himself would be the chief beneficiary in the end. He always made certain of that. He studied the tall rider with a calculating eye for a long moment. Then he nodded once.
"Do it."
Dipping his head once more, the commander swung his horse around and galloped away. Cresting the ridge, the commander guided his black stallion forward until he reached the edge of the tree line. Far too many weeks had been spent moving his force into foreign territory undetected, but the time had come at last. He glanced irritably behind him as he waited for the last of the riders to take their positions in the shadow of the trees. He stared down at the village below. The villagers had straggled home from the fields as the dusk deepened, and the laughter of children had stilled as the people disappeared into their crude dwellings. There was nothing special about this place, no compelling reason to have lured the angel of death here rather than anywhere else that night. The slaughter simply needed to begin somewhere in Arvernon. The tall nobleman stared out into the darkness. He would soon unleash death and destruction, but the killing held no more interest for him than the particulars of the location. His presence there had a purpose, one he had carefully concealed from his scheming sovereign. A prize beyond price lay hidden somewhere in this kingdom. His craving for it consumed him. It alone had drawn him here. He turned to the horsemen waiting among the trees.
"You all know what to do."
Dozens of torches flared into life, sending eerie shadows flickering from the horned helmets of the riders. Rising in his stirrups, the dark leader raised a hand and thrust it toward the village.
"Destroy it all," he commanded. "Leave nothing alive."
Chapter 1. He found it on his way back toward the castle. The afternoon was drawing on, and he was hurrying, but it caught his eye, and he quickly stopped and reached down for it. It was a small stone, almond-like in size, and smooth to the touch. It lay gleaming in his palm, illuminated by the rays of the late afternoon sun. Many times afterwards, Thomas wondered how the stone came to be there and why he should have been the one to find it. But at that moment, the youth simply admired his new prize, captured by the striking swirls of blue and purple that covered its surface. He turned it over slowly in his hand. Then he tossed it into the air once, twice, before dropping it carefully into the leather pouch at his belt. Retying the drawstring, he set off once again for home. As the road drew him closer to the river, the orderly strips of cultivated land and clusters of cottages to his left began to fall away. Off in the distance he caught a glimpse of grey stone towers rising majestically over barren foothills. A sprawling town surrounded the castle with its lofty towers, and beyond the ford the road wound its way up to the ancient walls that encompassed the town. To his right the last trees of the great forest advanced almost to the water's edge. Noticing the spreading gloom beneath their silent boughs, Thomas quickened his pace.